He jerked his head to the left toward the swirling mass of the maw. Hans there. He's over there. Kithra's voice came over the speaker again. A Death Star prototype attacked us, she explained as the smuggler's ship swarmed around them in a protective contingent. We suspect it was fleeing the New Republic occupation force that recently entered the cluster. Wedge and Chewie are inside the maw, too, Luke said to Kip. What happened to Han? Kip said into the comm with rising urgency. Our ship struck at the prototype and caused some minor external damage, but Han Solo flew the Millennium Falcon into the superstructure. Commander Jade ordered us to fall back. The Falcon was carried along as the Death Star retreated toward the maw. They were going to attempt to sabotage its power core, but we've heard no word from them since. How long has it been? Only a couple of hours, Kithra answered. We've been considering our options. Luke looked to Kip, and their eyes met in shared concern. We don't have any options, Luke said. Kip nodded. We've got to help Han. Yes, Luke said, swallowing hard. Into the maw. For two Jedi, finding a safe path through the labyrinth of gravity wells proved simple enough. Working together, Luke and Kip reinforced each other's perceptions, flying the Sun Crusher in tandem, like linked Nava computers. The Sun Crusher rattled and vibrated with the strain. Luke experienced a stretching of his mind as he let his senses extend outward, as if dragged downward into the bottomless black holes. Kip flew with his eyes closed, his jaws clenched, his lips drawn back in a grimace. Almost through the wall, he said through his teeth. After passing through an eternity of super-hot colors, they fell into the quiet bubble within the center of the cluster. Clearing his vision, Luke searched for the Death Star prototype, expecting to see it firing at Wedge's assault fleet. But instead, he saw quite a different space battle in progress. New Republic forces blasting, starfighters launched in frantic dogfights, arrayed not against the Death Star, but against the deadly spearpoint shape of a battered and blaster-scarred Star Destroyer. It's Admiral Dalla, Kip said, his voice thick with hatred. 34. The wireframe prototype hid, powered down, on the far side of the Maw Cluster as Tal Sivran, Galanda, Doxson, Yem, and the Stormtrooper Captain held a meeting to discuss the implications of their changed situation. It had taken some time to find an empty storeroom that could be converted into an appropriate conference chamber, and they had to forego their hot beverages and morning pastries. But these were emergency times, Sivran admitted, and they had to make sacrifices in the name of the Empire. Thank you, Captain, for pointing out that loophole in our procedures, he said, flashing a pointy-toothed smile. The stormtrooper had shown them an appendix to the emergency procedures under the subheading Dissemination of Information, a clause pertaining to the total secrecy of Maw installation inventions. Rebel access to Maw installation research and development data must be denied at all costs. This clause, he argued, could be interpreted as mandating the destruction of the facility now that it had been overrun. At all costs, the captain repeated, clearly means we should forfeit the installation itself rather than let the rebels have access to our work. Well, Doxson said, it would give us another opportunity to fire the super laser for the good of the Empire. He raised his wire-thin eyebrows so that his scalp furrowed like tread marks across a sand dune. Yem, the Deveronian, continued to flip through paragraph after paragraph of the procedures on his data pad, studying the terminology. I see nothing to contradict the captain's assessment, Director Sivran, he said. All right, the resolution has passed, Sivran said. We shall direct the prototype back into the maw using our previous flight path. Captain, take care of the details. Yes, sir, the stormtrooper captain said. So, that's all settled then, Tal Sivran said, clacking his long claws on the tabletop. If we have no new business, the meeting is adjourned. Everyone stood to leave, brushing their uniforms and stepping away from the table. Tal Sivran looked at the small chronometer. Barely 2 hours had passed. He blinked his beady eyes in surprise. This had been one of his shortest meetings ever. 35. 3PO's dizzying preoccupation with battle configurations and tactics and ships swarming around the five Gamma assault shuttles absorbed all his concentration. He forgot entirely about his dread. The Gorgon cruised ominously overhead, firing down on the installation or shooting across at the New Republic ships. Chewbacca growled, squinting his fur-rimmed eyes to study the Star Destroyer's firing pattern. He chuffed and grunted an idea to 3PO, and without waiting for a response, opened the tight-beam ship-to-ship communication system. Chewbacca spoke rapidly in the Wookiee language, which 3PO decided was a tactically wise thing to do. Although he himself was a protocol droid and understood more than 6 million forms of communication, he doubted that anyone on the Gorgon would know what Chewbacca was saying. Even as acknowledgement came from the Wookiee pilots in the other assault shuttles, 3PO broke away from his full concentration to speak to the Wookiee. "I simply don't see how we can possibly take out all of the starboard turbolaser banks on the Star Destroyer. It's suicide. Why don't we wait for more fighters from the New Republic ships? I think that would be by far the safest strategy." Chewbacca snarled, and 3PO decided it was unwise to press the point any further. A combat wing of TIE fighters soared past them, firing bursts from their laser cannons. One of the assault shuttles passed into the crossfire, and as 3PO reconstructed the images an instant later, he determined that it received 8 direct hits within 2 seconds. Its shields failed. Hull plates buckled, and the shuttle exploded as the TIE fighters roared past to face the X-wings and Y-wings pouring from the New Republic battleships. Chewbacca let out a grief-stricken roar at seeing some of his newly rescued friends die. The cry was echoed across the comm system by the other Wookiees. With the explosion, 3PO experienced a sudden disorientation. He had been partially linked to the destroyed ship. It felt as if a part of him had been disconnected. "Oh, dear," he said, then shifted his concentration to managing the other shuttles. "Chewbacca, you have my complete support. We simply cannot allow them to do this sort of thing." Chewbacca roared agreement and gave 3PO a comradely slap on the back that practically sent the droid through the control panels. A tiny streak of light shot past them, and 3PO was able to freeze the image in his optical sensors. It was the angular crystalline shape of a tiny two-man ship. He recognized it instantly. "Oh my, isn't that the Sun Crusher?" 3PO asked. Preoccupied, Chewbacca roared a challenge as the 4 remaining assault shuttles cruised low over the Gorgon's starboard side. They soared above the complex topography of the hull, a blur of indecipherable outcroppings, piping, fuel shafts, portholes, and life support equipment. Dalla's heavy turbo lasers shot alternately at the Maw installation and at the New Republic starfighters. 7 TIE fighters broke away from the main attack and circled back to head off Chewbacca's squadron. But the Wookiees unleashed a smoking volley from the assault shuttle's heavy blaster cannons. Stunted old Gnaw Roon and several other Wookiees sat in the gunner seats and fired relentlessly. A web of blaster bolts spewed from the shuttles, clipping 4 of the attacking TIE fighters. 2 others veered wildly away from the sudden firepower and careened into the side of the Gorgon. The lone survivor of the attack group peeled off and fled to get reinforcements. Chewbacca grunted in satisfaction. The assault shuttles hammered the Star Destroyer's turbolaser batteries as they streaked back and forth, launching their store of concussion missiles. With the smoldering eruptions of hull plates and exploding weapon systems, the Gorgon was defenseless on one side. "Oh, well done, Chewbacca," 3PO cried. "You did it." Chewbacca purred in satisfaction. Loud, triumphant roars came from the back of the assault shuttle and the gunner bay. But as TIE reinforcements arrowed toward them, 3PO decided it was time to cease the frivolity. "Excuse me, sir," he said, "but hadn't we better retreat now?" Like a master pilot, Kip Duron brought the Sun Crusher into a berth on one of the planetoids. He maneuvered the thorn-shaped ship through the blast doors and into the bay. Luke let the young man pilot as he himself worked the communication systems, transmitting to the escort frigate and then to the installation operations center. "Wedge, are you there? Are you all right? Tell me what's going on. This is Luke." A response came over the comm, accompanied by a cacophony of alarms and shouted orders, status reports, and the background rumble of direct hits from the Star Destroyer. "Luke, you're alive. What are you doing here?" He realized that Wedge had been inside the Maw Cluster since before the defeat of Exar Kun. "We brought the Sun Crusher here to destroy it, but it looks like you're having problems of your own." "I need a few hours to tell you everything that's happened since this operation started," Wedge said. His voice was harried. "Are you safe?" "We're fine for now, Wedge. We're landing in one of your maintenance bays." "Good. I can sure use whatever help you can offer." After Kip secured the Sun Crusher, he popped open the hatch, and the 2 of them clambered down the metal ladder. They set off at a brisk jog through the curving corridors that tunneled through the dead rock. The rhythmic pounding of Dalla's repeated blasts echoed through the tunnels. The two of them spilled into the operations center, trying to make sense of the frenzy of preparations Wedge had underway. Wedge Antilles ran forward to embrace his friend. Both men clapped each other on the back. "I'm so glad you're back with us," Wedge said in a voice filled with unasked questions. Then he flashed a distrustful glance at Kip Duron, who stood contritely on the threshold. "What's he doing here?" Beside him, Kwai Zooks also saw him and gasped, taking a step backward. "I'm sorry," Kip said quietly. Luke looked sternly at Wedge. "Kip is here to help us, Wedge. He has returned from the dark side, and I've made my peace with him. If you still hold a grudge, then take it up with him once this is all over." Wedge looked to Kwai, and her gentle, narrow face tightened before she nodded briefly. "Kip came here to destroy the Sun Crusher as a form of penance, but now..." Luke gripped his apprentice's shoulder. "Now we are two Jedi offering our services in this fight." Wedge called to one of the other commandos. "Give me a status update now," he said. The tactical crew rattled off a list of starfighters deployed, shots fired, a tally of enemy and ally losses. "Chewbacca's team appears to have knocked out the Gorgon's starboard turbolaser batteries." Wedge looked relieved. "If only we can keep damaging Dala faster than she can damage us." He shook his head. "Where's Han?" Luke asked. Kip perked up, eagerly awaiting the answer. Wedge frowned. "What do you mean?" Luke explained about the prototype and how Han, Lando, and Mara Jade had last been seen inside its superstructure. Wedge shook his head. "The Sun Crusher and the Gorgon are already here. Now you're telling me the Death Star is coming back?" He blinked in disbelief before starting to snap out orders to the tactical team. "You heard what Luke said. Looks like we've got another surprise coming our way." It didn't seem possible, but everyone managed to bustle a little faster. Luke stared through the broad skylights of the operations center. He sensed it before he saw it. Through the flaring lights of battle overhead and the muffled din of repeated explosions, the armillary sphere of the Death Star prototype emerged through the pastel glow of the maw and entered the fray. 36. The Millennium Falcon's landing claw clung to the Death Star's superstructure as the skeletal sphere lurched into motion again and careened through the black hole cluster. Han, Mara, and Lando sat strapped into their swiveling seats, gritting their teeth from gravity's onslaught. The Falcon held on, but the prototype bucked from the enormous tidal pulls. Once the rough passage was over, Han scanned the diagnostics. "Got to do something about these hyperdrives," he said. "If we fly fast enough, we could just blow the reactor core and run. But the way the Falcon's limping along, we'd never get away in time." Han turned his seat to look at Lando and Mara. He wiped dark hair away from his eyes. "And even if we did get away in time, we'd never make it back through the Maw Cluster without top-notch maneuverability."
"Not to mention, we don't know the way out," Mara said. "My Jedi instincts aren't strong enough for a job like that."
Now that's another good point," Han admitted. "But Han," Lando said, "we've got to do something. If the Death Stars come back to Maw installation, it's bound to be up to no good."
"Yeah," Han said, nodding grimly. "Chewie is in here with the rest of the occupation force. I won't just leave him if he's in trouble."
Mara pulled herself to her feet.
"So it's obvious," she said. "We've got to deactivate that super laser."
She shrugged. "As long as we're here."
"But the hyperdrive engines," Han began.
"You've got environment suits, don't you?" she said.
"A light freighter like the Falcon ought to have at least a couple for emergency repairs."
"Yes," Han said, drawing out the word, still unable to guess what Mara had in mind. "I've got two suits, one for me and one for Chewie."
"Good," Mara said, cracking her knuckles. "Calrissian and I will go out and plant timed detonators on the reactor core. You work on the hyperdrive engines. The timers will let us get out of the superstructure before they blow."
Lando's mouth dropped open.
"You want me?"
Her eyes challenged him.
"Got any better ideas?"
He shrugged and grinned.
"Why, no. I'd be honored to escort you, Mara."
End of side 5. To continue, turn the cassette over.